Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. For the second week in a row, it's now officially the Mike and Maddie Show. Or, as people have already dubbed it, we kind of dubbed ourselves last week, Scott and Chris Hansen. What's going on, Scott?
doing good. Very, very, very happy to be recording episode 121 of 4D Chess, episode 2 for Scott Hansen. Should we somehow mix in a little Mbop, little Hansen Brothers to start the show?
Yeah, man. Mbop, yeah. Listen, I'll tell you what. I got pretty much on podcasts, I got free reign with what I want to do with the audio. You know, no demonetization, which is nice because I get to have fun and do my thing. If you can't tell from the intro, get to do my own damn thing. For you, Maddie, I will make Mbop the outro song. Just for this episode alone.
What a treat. What a treat. Now I'm going to make sure that I listen to the very end, at least. I usually listen to the beginning to make sure we got off without a hitch, make sure we took the bird, you know, the bird takes off. But now I'm going to have to listen to the end because I got to hear me some Mbop. That was my jam when I was a kid. I can't lie. I had this little thing. I put the cassette in. Mbop, ba-ba-da-ba-ba, doo-ba-ba-da-ba. Jam, right. Jam.
Is it any shock to you, too? We're old. We're old people. Yeah, that Mbop became, like, popular right about the same time that Eminem started. You know, like the yin and the yang. Everything in life needs balance.
It was the Thanos meme with the blade. Balance is all things in life should be.
Perfectly balanced. Perfectly balanced. Well, if you like what we're throwing down here, could you do us a huge favor? Rate and review the podcast. You know, and hit us up on Twitter, the socials. Let us know what you think. At Iowa Michael for me. Maddie, what the hell is your Twitter handle?
At Maddie Kiwom, MattyKiwom. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Hit us up. Let us know what you think. And Maddie, tonight we are going to talk about dynasty rebuilding. One of my favorite things ever to do. I love rebuilding. I'm way too good at it. I rebuild far too many teams. But it's a perfect time to talk about it. We're at the great point in the season where everybody's hopes and dreams are dashed. Everybody who thought, yeah, I'm winning, I'm going to make the playoffs, is slowly coming to the realization that this 2-7 team ain't going to fucking cut it. It's not going to happen, Maddie. So it's rebuilding season. We talked about contenders and how to do it, but rebuilders. You got a couple? You got a couple out there that are struggling, bussing?
So I just haven't really been – I'm not good at the rebuild. I've tried it. You have to do it. It's not like you could be perfect in all dynasty leagues. But I feel like – and maybe this could be more of a back and forth where you're educating me. Maybe this episode isn't so much Scott Hansen, Chris Hansen. It's crazy stupid love where I'm Ryan, you're Ryan Gosling, I'm Steve Carell, and you can walk me through the mall. You can, you know, redress me. You can make sure I look cool. Help me get my wife back, my ex-wife. Maybe you can help me get to that next stage of dynasty gaming, because the rebuild for me, I have a tough time landing value. If that makes sense. Whereas, yeah, I understand the principles. You know, you want to get younger. You want to get picks. You want to get points off of your roster to kind of sink down in the standings. But I find myself being a sucker for moves that also involve players that can help, because I have a tough time. So I have this team, Mike. 1-8, piss poor team. I don't know where to go. I have no idea what to do.
All right. Well, we'll help you here, Maddie. And I got a little surprise for you. I know you're a baseball fan at heart, too, right? We have a few baseball fans that listen to this podcast. Yes, sir. There's some crossover, Maddie. So, you know, just like somebody coming in to save the day and to save the game, Maddie, I got a surprise for you tonight. Here it is. Let's go. Just call me Edwin Diaz. All right. One of the greatest closer entrance songs I think I've ever heard in my entire life. That stadium goes ballistic.
Perfect.
Let's go, Maddie. Little Timmy Trumpet. Timmy Trumpet.
Get him in. Show the right arm.
We need the righty. We need the righty, Maddie.
Bring in the Haas.
I love it. I heard that today. I was just scrolling through TikTok, and I just happened to come across the video that's always out there about Edwin Diaz entering to this song. And I was like, oh, this feels good. You know, Maddie might need a closer today. All right. Fade the music. Maddie, 1-8 teams. Let's go. Let's talk about it. What went wrong? What went wrong in your estimation on your 1-8 team?
I took over a team which I thought I had pillars in Superflex. I thought I had my quarterbacks, so I thought I would be able to at least stick my feet in the ground and kind of navigate through with these two quarterbacks. Can you guess who the quarterbacks were?
Ooh, did you have Tua? And Dak Prescott's been playing like doo-doo. Is it Dak Prescott? Tua and Dak?
Buddy, I would murder someone if it meant I could have Dak Prescott and Tua. I took over a team where
and A Rich.
I don't. It's A Rich and Caleb. Oh, no.
A Rich and Caleb. All right.
So this is a super flex league, and I also have Derek Carr. I have Michael Penix. I was able to pick up Flacco early on, but I just haven't been able to trade any of those quarterbacks. I was willing to trade any quarterback, even starting early in the season, figuring I could just recoup a ton of value and just really try to fatten the roster to see where things could go. And I set the price probably a little too high. I didn't negotiate as much as I probably should have. And now I'm here caught my schmenzer in my hands because I have these two dynasty assets that, like, we can't put in the jar. We can't put the light out yet, but jeez Louise, Caleb and AR is just not garnering the value I thought they would be at this point of the year.
So step one to being a rebuilder, right, Maddie? And we'll do this with your roster assessment. Everybody always wants to trade the shit off their roster, right? Yeah. But you got to treat it like a garage sale, you know? Like if you wanted to get rid of the shit in your garage, you got to price it, one, appropriately, and two, have something that people might actually want to buy, right? Nobody wants to buy the fucking lint from your dryer. Okay? So why even put it out there? Because ain't nobody buy it. Nobody wants it. So let's do a little roster evaluation just with the quarterbacks. We'll stick with it. Does anybody want to buy Anthony Richardson right now? Holistically. I would say the answer is probably no.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it is an option.
Does anyone want to buy Derek Carr at this moment? Fuck no. Maybe Michael Thomas. No, he does. He wants to buy him out of
him. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. Michael Penix, we haven't seen anything from, and Kirk Cousins has been playing well enough. That team's good enough right now where I don't think we're going to see Michael Penix for a little bit. So obviously not a hot name. That's your quarterback room right now. You got one asset on there, Caleb, who's struggling from a fantasy production, but definitely still has the long-term upside appeal. Like, we're not completely dead on him yet, even though the way the NFL is going, you know, I said tongue-in-cheek the other day in the Discord that maybe the Bears should bench him for Tyler Bagent, you know, because he gives them the best opportunity to win. We've only seen Caleb through 8 games, so who knows? Maybe we should get rid of him already. I'll say this. That's probably your only asset at the quarterback position that anybody would be interested in. And most contenders aren't going to be interested in Caleb Williams, right? They don't want to pay that price for the bad production. So you're kind of in a pickle there. Let's move to another question, and this actually should be number one on this team. Do you have your future draft capital?
I do. I have all my draft capital intact. I have an extra second, an extra third heading into 25.
Step one for most dynasty rebuilders is making sure you can get it back if you already send it away. Right? Yes. You need that security because then you choose what you want to do with it. Now, the problem becomes the price sometimes you have to pay to get it back is going to make you a little queasy. But you have to do it. You have to do it. I mean, walking into the 101 versus, you know, just gift wrapped in somebody, even if you struggle mightily to, you know, make it to 103, there's a big difference, right? Like, we've seen these massive trades in your rookie draft, especially super flex ones, where people move back, what, 2-3 spots sometimes in a rookie draft and get an absolute haul. Having the early pick, man, means the world. So sometimes you got to pay the Pied Piper to to get that baby back, right? So it's at least it's a good note on this this team of yours that you have your draft capital, right? So we don't have to worry about that. Lining.
Now let me ask you this though, Mike. If you let's say you're a team much like this one, where you have let's call it three tradable assets, three shiny objects that you have some value across the league, not much nuanced value, true value. Of those three assets, how much are you willing to give to get your first back? Because I think what people listening might want to know is I might have messed up. This might have been a mistake from last year where you've given it away before you were ready to, or you kind of shot your shot a little too early. So like how much of your actual assets on hand in terms of your big money stuff are you willing to move to get back in the driver's seat?
This is where you really, kind of like we talked about on the contender episode, you have to do a little future casting. What's that pick going to be worth, that player, potentially, in the offseason next year? Say the rookie draft's already happened, that guy's floating out there. We're in July, right? There's nothing going on in July. What's that pick actually going to be worth? So, for example, if it's, let's just say it's a pretty good wide receiver like Devontae Smith. I like Devontae Smith. Everybody likes Devontae Smith. But we kind of know where he's at. Like borderline wide receiver one territory. If you were to say that next year in July, whatever that 101, 102, your pick back is going to be, is worth more than what Devontae Smith would be worth, even if he continues to kind of have a pretty good year, pay it. Pay the Devontae Smith to get that pick back. Now, on hindsight, though, let's just say it is the 102, 101, 103, whatever it is in there, and it's a player like Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson. Are they going to be worth more than that pick? And I would say the odds, the Magic 8-ball points to yeah. Yeah, they're going to be worth more than whatever that is next year. It's very rare. I mean, even in this last class, which was loaded and how enthralled I was with Jane Daniels. Jane Daniels was my 101. Almost universally. And I will say I drafted him in the first round of startups and paid the price and took him over guys like Chase and Jefferson. But that wasn't universal sentiment. Like that wasn't like to me in an excellent class with a bulletproof prospect at the Superflex leagues with this guy who does everything you want, throws the ball, runs the ball. Like that was my thing. Universally, that still looked like, well, why? Why would you trade away one of these guys for that? And even if I was right, Maddie, which I ended up being right on the topic, the payoff isn't that much more, right? Like, could you acquire Jaden Daniels for Jefferson or Chase straight up today? Maybe in some leagues, but, like, how much more do you actually have to pay or add on to one of those receivers to get Jada? Now, that's going to vary by your league, but it's not absurd. It's not like I'm adding another first or two first or whatever it is. I'm not adding another superstar to go get Jaden Daniels in most leagues. Now, some leagues, you know, especially if I roster him, that probably would be by asking prices to piss everybody off. Like, you want me to add a really early 25 first to Justin Jefferson to get your Jaden Daniels? You're goddamn right I do. So you gotta kind of weigh that balance, right? Like the player versus the pick and getting your pick back. Now, the other thing that's kind of hidden, the hidden value, is your flexibility then when what you do with that pick, right? Not having it, there's no flexibility, but having it back doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take that player in 2025, whoever that pick ends up being. You may be able to trade back and get some more assets and really kickstart your rebuild. So that's kind of a little bit of a hidden value kind of under the sheets that nobody really talks about. But just in a grand scheme of things, you know, if it's like one player, one pretty good player for a very early 25 pick, weigh it out, do a little future casting and say, like, what would Shedeur Sanders be worth if he went to a pretty good landing spot with top five draft capital next year and was the unanimous 101 or 102 in a super flex draft. So kind of figure out where he would go in a startup and think about that, how that ADP board would shake out. And is he going to be higher or lower, or what's the real difference between him and whatever player you're trading away to get that pick?
If you're in a league, have you, and I'm wondering, has this ever happened to you personally? You're in a league, you've traded your first round pick, say a year ago, you come, you know, fast forward 12 months and your team stinks. You are on a collision course for a top three pick, but this guy's not giving you the pick back. They're saying, no way, I don't care. You could throw 50% tax on it, 75% tax on it. I'm just not giving you your pick back. Are you still rebuilding as hard in terms of getting points off your roster, getting more liquidity with picks? Are you still more prone to that approach, or are you a little bit kind of – a little fuck you, right? Of course, that's still in the back of your mind. Like, you're not going to give my big old fuck you. I'm going to make the playoffs, bitch. You know, of course you have a little of that, but where's the balance between fuck you and I'm sticking to the process. I want to be liquid. I want to make sure that I've dropped my average age down a couple years. Where do you balance out when you cannot get your pick back?
That is the million-dollar question, and I'll be completely honest with you. I'm the wrong person to ask that because, Maddie, almost 99.9% of the time, I'm full on the fuck you train. Fuck you. And yes, I will do whatever it is in my power to see this team even get to the playoffs. My goal isn't even to win. My goal is just to fuck you over for being such an asshole and not letting me have my pick back at what I knew was going to be a cost, right? Like, I'm not naive to think that I wasn't going to have to pay for it back. But some people get, like, absurd, like really absurd. They're like, give me Lamar Jackson straight up. No, not going to fucking happen. You can kiss my ass. So I lean on the fuck you side. Like, my goal is to make that thing the 108, the 109. And the longer the season goes on and the better I do it, the more interested I am. So I got a perfect one. We have a patron member, Big Corey. We're in a league. I competed the last probably 2-3 years of this league. Did very well for myself. Won it multiple times. But all my draft picks are, you know, they were gone for multiple years, Maddie. Go into this year and, you know, it's a older, grosser squad. I've already won. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to start selling off some pieces here. Yep. I go to Corey and I say, hey, you know, you want to compete, obviously. You got my pick. What's it going to take? And the asking price was absurd. the asking price was like, not a fucking chance I'm paying that, brother. there is no way in hell. So I've made it my mission this entire year to make that team just good enough where we finally reach that point in the season too. Like, I got enough wins under my belt, even if I collapse for the rest of the year. That thing at best is like the 106. Like, good for you, man. Glad you really worked that 106 out of me. Now that we're at that point, though, like, I went to the full fuck you stage. Now I'm much more inclined to either A, play the variance game, but because it's a best ball league, I mean, we'll talk about this on another show down the road. The difference between best ball and lineup leagues is very, very stark. We touched on some of it last week, but as far as variance goes in the playoffs, a good best ball team usually runs the table. In lineup leagues, you do see those six seeds just like come out of nowhere and go on these, you know, like New York Giants Super Bowl runs, you know,
Cinderella
from the wild card
runs
spot.
Yeah. Real lineup. Yeah.
You see that quite often. You don't see it as much in best ball leagues. So because it's a best ball league, like, I know that I'm probably still not winning it. If it was a lineup league, Maddie, I'd probably lean in more to the variance and like, fuck it. Let's see if we can win some money this year and be a Cinderella or whatever. But because it's a best ball league, I'm at the point now where it's like, fuck it. Now I can really start rebuilding with a little bit of freedom, right? Like now I can start rebuilding and start selling off those pieces. So to the first point, your first question, Maddie, I'm horrible at this because I lean almost exclusively to the fuck you just because I'm arrogant. Like, you want to try to fuck me? I'll show you. I'm making a mission. I'm devoting all my time and energy just to fucking over this draft pick for you. So I have seen people pull it off where, you know, they can't get their first back and then they still make some pretty good moves. And I think it's possible. You know, if I had to give people advice, though, like it is kind of fun to be on the fuck you train if you guys want to join.
Revenge tour, fun. Baby. No, there's nothing more fun than going scorched earth, just being full revenge mode on someone. And I think also this is a lesson that we can kind of lay out to everyone checking it out. Maybe be a little bit cautious, a little bit at least cognizant, at least keep it in mind your price when you set it early in the season. Let's say Mike and I are in our league and I have Mike's pick. It's probably not in my best interest to be a dick in week two. Plenty of time for Mike to pivot. Plenty of Mike to get a little bit of luck where all of a sudden he goes 2, 3, 4 wins in a row. And like you said, that 102 that I was holding on for dear life is the 107. And I couldn't even get 70% of what I was asking for in week two when I was being a dick. So I think that's another piece of this too. It's the other side of the coin is if you have someone's first round pick and they come knocking for it, don't give it back. Play hardball, do the whole thing, but also don't light a fire under their ass if you know them. We talked about this last week about kind of understanding your league psychology, kind of that next frontier of dynasty gaming. If you're going against Mike and you know that he doesn't mind lighting a couple buildings on fire in revenge, probably don't be a complete asshole about asking price negotiation, taking stuff off the top, that whole thing. So that's probably another lesson too when rebuilding or even just looking to make trades early on, because you don't want the revenge tour on your ass. I can tell you that.
Yes. All right. So we'll move on this rebuild topic here, Maddie, as well. So let me ask you about your team. Do you have anybody currently on it that's kind of been producing at a decent clip, like at a reasonable clip?
So the two probably shining light, other than what I thought I had at quarterback, would be Jordan Addison and Jacoby Myers, Romeo Doubs, and probably the most exciting, Darnell Mooney.
Okay. Now, let's talk about these players, right? Here's one big mistake I see a lot of rebuilders make. Now, not so much with, let's say, Mooney or Romeo Doubs, right? Because they're not the most sexy assets. But let's talk about like Jordan Addison, right? An asset like Jordan Addison, I feel far too many people in rebuilds become way too attached to that. They sit there and they go, oh, he's young. I don't need to trade him. You have to think of what's most appealing to the buyer. Like if it's a young asset that's producing, I understand that you don't really want to get him off your team. But you have to also be able to kickstart the rebuild by trading away some pieces that are going to make you uncomfortable. So far too many people, especially in rebuilds, go like, these guys are all the ones that I want to trade, and these guys are untouchable. Like, there's nothing you're going to make an offer for that I'm going to send this guy away. And I think it's the worst mindset to have, right? My mindset when I rebuild is anything on this motherfucking team is available. Now, ideally, what I want to do is maybe trade away a Jordan Addison and sneak in a like Derek Carr into the deal, right? Like get some other trash off my team that I really want to get off. Yeah. It's going to feel uncomfortable getting Jordan Addison, but as long as I get a decent enough return for him and then get something for Derek Carr, that's a dub. That's a dub. Because if I just try to trade Derek Carr straight up, nobody's going to want him. Right, but if I package him in, some people do a little mental gymnastics and be like, "Well, you know, I could use a third quarterback, or I could use this depth piece. I need that on my team." So I'll say this for a lot of people: please, please, for the love of God, in your rebuilds, don't sit there and make things untouchable, untradeable. Like every single thing on your roster should be. And I mean everything. I got rebuilders where I will gladly trade away Jaden Daniels if it means I get the return for him. I'm not saying he's untouchable, but you're definitely going to feel it if you want him. Like, I'm going to get a good price that makes sense for me, but he is available, right? Come to the store of Mike. Mike will sell you anything. Sell you anything for the right price.
Bizarre.
He'll even toss in some shit, you know, give you some BOGOs, you know, buy one, get one.
It's go a true flea it. Market vibe when you come to Mike's office.
Yeah, other than the bartering. Nah, I ain't going to sit there and barter. You know, I'm not taking your mule. I don't need a fucking mule.
There are prices for a reason.
But make everybody tradable, Matty. So, like, for your team, right, Jordan Addison should be shopped around. Darnell Mooney's producing. I don't know how much interest straight up for Darnell Mooney there should be. He's obviously producing at a good enough clip that somebody should be interested in. And then Jacoby Myers and Romeo Doubs, fine assets as well. But you wanna trade all these guys. Like, none of these guys are going to be pillars to a long-term rebuild. You know what is a pillar to a long-term rebuild? Fucking draft capital. And assets that are depressed right now that have the opportunity to go up and completely change the fortune or the outcome of your team. So that's kind of what you want to get into. But Jordan Addison, Matty, I put that dude on trade block right now. I'm calling, boys.
This is another reason why you have to be going to SouthHarmonFF.com and getting this Warp tool. Because if you did pull up Warp, and we have the league that you and I set up that we can kind of use as our anchor for our buys and our sells that we'll be doing a video of this week, and when we do 4D, you'll notice in just your standard Superflex Dynasty, semi-deep league, that Jordan Addison is outside of the top 115 overall Warp player.
Damn.
And if you had that tool, then it's a lot easier for you to come to grips with trading a young player, a young asset like a Jordan Addison, when you realize that, yeah, maybe he has his ups and downs, but when I look at wide receiver 49 in terms of wins over replacement, suddenly you feel a little bit more optimistic about selling a player like that. And this is how you can really take advantage of value in your league and maximize and squeeze value out of your trades markets, is using a tool like Warp at South Harmon FF. But let's talk about Addison specifically, if you don't mind, because now you've spiked my interest. You've gotten me kind of, you got the wheels churning. He's a young player. He's on a trajectory that should be productive fairly consistently, either throughout the rest of this year or at least starting next year, right? What type of assets are you trying to jump into? You're obviously trying to get some draft capital, but let's just say you're only getting a second. That's the most. Well, on top of that second, what are you looking to get? Because I'm assuming you wouldn't sell Jordan Addison straight up for, call it, a mid second.
No. If you're going to do that, then that's where the down tier comes in. But this is going to be a risk management for you, right? Like how risky do you want to get on the down tier? Right now on Key Trade Cut, Jordan Addison is wide receiver 34, but like you said on Warp, his production definitely doesn't match that dynasty value, right? Mm-hmm. There's a pretty big discrepancy between the two. And I would imagine Jordan Addison is also like one big like spike game away, you know, on a 20-point week, you know, catches a couple long bombs for touchdowns, and it's like it's right back up into the 20s somewhere. Like that, this, he's a pretty volatile player from it. So let's just say Jordan Addison, all the guy has is like a second. What I start doing is I start looking at wide receivers because I can just easily go one for one on those.
You're right.
Start looking at some wide receivers that are ranked pretty significantly below Jordan Addison and maybe offer the same type of boom upside at some point, right? So they have some youth on their side. They have, you know, maybe they were depressed this year because they were injured. Maybe they're depressed this year because their quarterback play is atrocious or their offense coordinator was dog shit. Whatever story I need to tell myself that, listen, the realistic upside of this player is pretty much the same as Jordan Addison. The draft pick becomes a freebie, right? So if you want to stay in that range, you can stay in that range one for one with, you know, maybe Xavier Leggett, maybe a dollar bill, you know, dollar bill, ride the pony. You could tell yourself that, hey, if the offense gets better next year and Bryce Young takes a step forward and Xavier Leggett gets a little bit more experience, maybe he has Jordan Addison type upside in his cards. Khalil Shakir, you had him on a buys list because of the production. He's still ranked far below Jordan Addison. If you believe in this Cedric Tillman thing, long term, maybe that's a play for you. Christian Watson is one that really stands out to me because he's kind of all over the map injuries. You know, he's all over the map with production, but he's also kind of like Jordan Addison in a sense, right? Where it's 1 week and all of a sudden, damn, he had 100 yards and a touchdown. Look at him. He's back. We're back on the hive. So those are pretty easy ones to pivot into. If you believe in the Quentin Johnston thing, go a second Quentin Johnston. You know, like really down tier. When you start going down even farther, one of the things I really like doing is diversifying in multiple ways. So the best they're going to give you is a second. Cool. I'll take an even shittier wide receiver as far as dynasty value and then throw a third on it. Like throw a liquid third on
piece.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, let me get that third piece. And maybe, just maybe, I hit on that third piece. Like if you took Tyrone Tracy in the third round this year, right. You're doing backflips. Like, damn, look at me go. I mean, we've seen this with multiple classes. Is it likely? No, it's not always likely, but it happens. We got plenty of examples over the years. James Robinson was a UDFA, Elijah Mitchell the following year. Puka Nacua came from like fourth, fifth undrafted, you know, in rookie to superstardom. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like we've seen these guys come out of nowhere and massively hit. And if you can find one of those dudes, with all these thirds that you keep accumulating in these type of deals, that's a fucking game changer. It don't matter if you miss 11. If you hit the 12th one right, boom. Boom. We're in the money. We're in the profit. So you can go even shittier if you wanted to go like Luke McCaffrey or if you still believe in a Roman Wilson or Jermaine Burton or whatever that, you know, take the second.
The gambler.
Take the third. Yeah. Like you're really rolling the dice. Jalen McMillan is down here. Jalen Polk. Like Jalen Polk would be a guy that I would be interested in. And it seems gross, but like I'm trying to do everything I can to hit some home runs later. Jordan Addison probably isn't going to be that home run for me. So let me get a few cracks at it. You know, instead of one swing for the walk-off, let me try three. See if I can hit one of these sons of bitches out.
And I would also say this, too, about specifically 25 thirds. We're going to have, I think we're looking at a rookie class that's going to have good value in the third because there are so many running backs coming out. Yeah. And we're just not going to see, you know, 12 running backs off the board in the first 15 picks in rookie drafts. We're just not. You know, the draft capital tight ends will get inflated. The draft capital wide receivers, like the Legettes of this season, will get obviously inflated. Roman Wilson inflated. You know, all of these guys that have been relative zeros in fantasy. We're going ahead of the Tracys, of the Ray Davises, of the Bucky Irvings this season. Now, we're talking about maybe four, five, six more qualified, pretty damn good running back prospects on top of what we got this year. So I think those thirds are going to be a little extra valuable. Let me ask you this, though, my friend, because this is something I tend to try to do when I rebuild, and maybe you could put it in the getting too cute bucket. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just not doing it the way I'm not maximizing the move. Moving, like trading a guy like Addison, you know, a guy that is, he's perceived to be better than he is. So that makes his value, kind of a positive in terms of selling because you're going to get more than what he's really producing on your team when you look at his warp. Are you willing to go older to get that probably second plus a better potential player? And for this example, let's just say you're able to get a second and Darnell Mooney. You're getting older, you're rebuilding, and I think in the traditional sense, most people want to continuously get younger. But is there some value in taking a guy that's, older, but not old in terms of his career?
The two problems I have with that, now it can pay off, first off. Let me just say, I have seen this pay off. It has worked for people. The two problems I generally have with doing that is number one, it's putting points onto my team when I'm actively, you know, we're talking about teams that have their own pick. I'm trying to make my pick the best I possibly can. I want production off my team. I want speculative production onto my team, you know, in the form of draft capital or players who are underperforming, not producing. The other problem I have with it is because that is my thinking, I could take on Darnell Mooney, and I have seen people do this. But then that becomes another move that I have to make, like something else that I add on to my checklist of rebuilding, something else that I then have to try to actively shop Darnell Mooney to get that production off my team and get the appropriate value for Darnell Mooney. So that's the hard part. The easier part to do, which this pays off better for you in the long run, is buy those injured players, right? And this year is doing us a solid if you're a rebuilder, because there's plenty of them. the football gods have not been kind to us this year. There's plenty of them. So for example, I pulled up some deals on the lab. For those of you who don't know, SouthHarmonFF.com, we got a tool. The lab pulls up sleeper leagues, roster management tool. You can go and punch in your username and, you know, see all the leagues that you play in and where you stand and look at your rosters. And the best part about it, though, is you can go look at trades. And these are real trades, and it's pulled from everybody that you play in leagues with and everybody they pull in play in leagues with. So it's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or what the fuck ever that was called back in the day.
He was everybody, six. I think you got it.
Everybody worked with Kevin Bacon in some way, shape, or form. But I looked at some of the...
I know Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon was the truth, man. Come on, Footloose was badass.
Of course. Nobody could.
I looked up some trades for Jordan Addison. Some of the ones that stood out to me that I really liked is sending away Jordan Addison and getting Chris Godwin in a second, Matty. Mm-hmm. Chris Godwin ain't scoring any fantasy points this year, for the rest of the year anyways, and you get the second. Now when Godwin comes back from injury, he's going to be worth more than he is right now. I'll tell you that much, when he actually does start producing. So then next year, if you wanted to trade away Chris Godwin, at least you give yourself plenty of time to do it. The problem I have with taking on Mooney, though, is like, I got to get this dude off my team right now, because he's actively like fucking up me every single week with, you know, being wide receiver 12 or whatever he is on the year. Like, damn it. Stop scoring points, man. I'm trying to lose. I'm trying to lose. I want to start Jalen Polk in that wide receiver spot, you know? Like, that's who I want to be in there. I want a guy who's going to give me 2, not 22.
Yeah, I want the wind sprinter. There's not many points per wind sprint ran league, so you're probably good there. I'm glad you did bring up the injuries, because our guy, Coop, last episode of Grinding the Edges, that you can get right here on the South Harbor Podcast Network, was diving into the numbers of injuries, looking at some market indicator data over the years, looking at players like DJ Shark when he got hurt, or Javonte Williams, or Trey Lance. And what he noticed was there was a bounce back, but none of them. And he said the only player that he saw recoup full value was Breece Hall. And his theory was that it happened really young. So if you're never going to get the value back, is it really just a game of give me the injured discount now, because guess what? I'll just spend that money a lot better. Or are you looking to hold, to use next year? Because according to Coop and what he was able to dig up, it didn't really seem like you're ever going to get that value back that you lost, especially on a guy like Godwin or Diggs, older players, kind of uncertain when they're going forward. So instead, but you can still, as he dove into, and shout out to him, it was an awesome episode. I definitely highly recommend checking out Grinding the Edge with Coop. Let's just call it what it is. He's just one of the most brilliant minds in fantasy sports.
Yes.
I mean, the guy's truly remarkable. And I learned a lot specifically because he had mentioned our episode. So, you know, I'm a narcissist. So I heard my name and was like, oh, what are we talking about today here? But no, it was a fantastic episode. And he was talking about recouping value. So in terms of getting that injured player, is your recommendation selling at any type of bounce back? Or are you hoping to just hold until you can recoup max value, probably next August?
So one thing I always love about Coop is I have a lot of theories over the years that have been floating around in my head, mm-hmm. and just kind of perceptions from playing in a lot of dynasty leagues. And then Coop comes out with an episode and he puts data to my theory, and I go, oh, look at that, confirmation bias, I'm in. You know, it happens. It does happen. Sometimes he puts data and I go, fuck, I was way wrong on that one. That's not what it is at all. With injured players, just from a 10,000 foot view, like Coop was talking about, unless it's the oddity, the super young, highly exciting asset that everyone covets, when they have these kind of injuries and they're out for the season, the value, Coop's 1,000%. Right, usually never returns, which I would say when dealing with injured players is why I have a hard time right after they get injured buying in, because we kind of talked about it last week. There's all these good feelings because of what they just did. So their market value is significantly higher than what it should be. Now you start separating yourself from that and you get the true market value, right? Like when we're talking about, hey, what'd you get for Chris Godwin? You know, maybe 2 weeks ago, somebody was getting a nice pivot of, you know, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
That didn't work out so well for him. But maybe they were getting a nice pivot maybe in the T. Higgins range, something along those lines. They were getting another asset that you were like, damn, like Diggs is still like that? We know he took a hit, but he didn't take that big of a hit.
Right.
You start separating yourself by a couple weeks, and now we're talking like, what's the best you got? You got wide receiver 49 in warp production and Jordan Addison, and you had to give up a second-round pick with Chris Godwin. Like, that's mm-hmm. where his market value has gone. And it continues to get worse as we get more into, damn, it's nut-cutting time. I'm really trying to make the playoffs. I got to get this injured dude off my roster. So,
right.
One, for contenders, that's why I always say, like, trade him immediately, man. Like, the fucking day of the injury, the next day, the week of, like, don't sit there and hold and kind of let the market settle. Your time to strike is right now. As a rebuilder and buying injured assets, which I love to do, I love to buy injured assets. I always caution people when they buy them too soon after the injury, because it feels like most of those people are paying full price. And to yeah. Coop's point, to your point about the injured players, they're not going to get back to that. It's more than likely they're not getting back to that.
Right.
Chris Godwin isn't getting back anywhere close to wide receiver 24 in dynasty value ever again. Like, ever. I don't care what he does. Stephon Diggs is not, you know, probably cracking the top 28, 30. In dynasty value ever again. It's over. Mm-hmm. If you're going to buy them immediately after, you already have to kind of factor in your mind that, you know, in a couple of weeks, these dudes are going to be down in the 40s and 50s on keep trade cut. Like, they're going to be long forgotten. Nobody's going to give a shit. When they do come back, could they get up to like 36, you know, back in wide receiver 3 territory? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. I'm paying mm-hmm. far less than that now. That's why I want to buy them and then flip them again next year. So, don't go and you know, pay that 90% value right now for them, because it's probably a loss cost. It's a loss yeah. cost. If you can trade away Jordan Addison, though, and get Chris Godwin in a second, I call that a major dub. Good job. That's doing it right.
You gave me some homework, my friend.
You could do Brandon Ayuk or Rashid Shaheed, too. There's some dudes out there you could do that for. So, the easiest one is always just to go to like some rookie shitter wide receiver. No offense, Jalen Polk, and get a second, a third, and call it a day.
Yeah.
The best move is always to take a Jordan Addison type and flip for, you know, some random 25 first. And maybe get a toss in. Like, that's yeah. the best move. But look, they got to rank them, Maddie. If that ain't on the fucking table, nobody's giving you a first for Jordan Addison, then time to pivot. But Jordan Addison should still be on the move for your 1-8 squad here.
Okay. Noted. I'll have to make that move, because you see those guys on your shitty teams and you go, well, at least he's a piece. Like, that's like a check mark. I think that might be kind of, I think we kind of found my bottleneck, why I can't get over the hump, why I can't get these rosters flushed out, churned over with any, you know, in any respectable amount of time, is because maybe I just overvalue the age and keep myself stagnant instead of making opportunities. Because we talked about this one in terms of buying. It certainly it certainly matters when selling too. Timing's everything. You don't want to miss out on a potential deal. Sometimes just your league's hot. Everyone knows that. It's not something we can completely quantify, but we all know when the league market is hot, when everyone's dealing, and it's just like people get a little slippery. And if you're sitting stagnant on a Jordan Addison because he's young, right, Mike? I don't want to trade this guy. He's young. Well, I probably fucking missed something. I missed an opportunity.
The malpractice is thinking that an asset like Jordan Addison is never going to go down. Like, you have to bake in the downside risk for him. So, Matty, I'll name off some names. I mean, these dudes are outside the top 50 in keep trade cut dynasty wide receivers right now. And just a few years ago, this would have been unheard of. Right, these would have been the kind of assets that people said, I'm not fucking trading. You can kiss my ass. It ain't happen, right? Mm-hmm. Calvin Ridley. You know, Calvin Ridley's down here at wide receiver 55. Cortland Sutton, 59. Those guys are a little bit more advanced in the age. But what about 25-year-old Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver 64? Mm-hmm. You know, first-round pick Rashad Bateman, who's not even 25 yet, wide receiver 67. Hollywood Brown, wide receiver 71. there was a couple other in here. Oh, this one kicked me in the fucking teeth, man, because I made this mistake with this dude because I threw away my process and I chased the player and it fucked me everywhere. Elijah Moore, wide receiver 82. He is 24.6 years old, Maddie. Like, these dudes do have the ability to crater in value and slowly just bleed you away. Like, just every single time. So to sit there on a rebuilder when you desperately need a change of good fortune to turn this thing around, you need to be doing everything actively possible to change this team around. To have one or two of these guys where you're like, I'm not trading them because they're young and they're somewhat exciting, that's malfeasance right there. There's another mal word for you.
Malfeasance is for malfeasance sake.
You can't do that, because imagine if you're on a rebuilder a couple years ago holding on to Elijah Moore with diamond hands. How far did that get you? Didn't get you production to help your team, and it sure as fuck ain't getting you dynasty value at any time now. Like, it just keeps pissing away and pissing away. So while they're still hot and semi-interesting, that's the time to sell them, to get off of them. Get rid of them.
Tough lesson to learn. I mean, at one point in time, you had Jeudy on the Broncos, Moore on the Jets, and you thought life was good. Now they're both in fucking Cleveland rotting it out.
It's ironic. They're both on the same team. Well, let's not even say, like, even if it's a, you know, Jordan Addison's a fairly decent asset, but, you know, what's up with Rondell Moore and Jahan Dotson right now? Like, we're only a couple years away from Jahan Dotson being Jordan Addison before Jordan Addison, right?
That's like, right.
Like, surprising rookie year. Okay, second year. Oh, fuck, now he's on the Eagles for a third-round pick? Well, maybe. Maybe he bounced back with Hurts. No. No, I think he made, like, the first catch I've ever seen from Jahan Dotson in Eagles jersey last game. And then he disappeared.
First play, yeah.
And then he fucked off for the rest of the game. So, yeah. This shit happens, man. Like trade these dudes. Trade them. Maddie, last point, though, before we get out of here talking about rebuilding strategy, and it's probably the biggest, but we save the best for last. Draft picks. How fucking important draft picks are to you? Not only your own, but getting other people's draft picks. Draft capital, even in suspect classes, you know, classes we're not too sure about, is the single best currency in all of dynasty football. Mm-hmm. For the reason why, when you're acquiring this draft capital in the off season right now, or if you're in the off season, if you're acquiring it in the off season, or you're acquiring it right now, draft capital doesn't go down in value, Maddie. It's a very, very predetermined buildup until when that draft capital maximizes itself in value, and it sure as fuck ain't right now. It's usually from the combine right up to the NFL draft, and sometimes slightly after the NFL draft, even after you get landing spots. So you always kind of remember it, like when we're talking about acquiring injured players, that when you're acquiring draft capital now, the prices you're most likely paying for draft capital is going to go up in value. And there's one thing I could definitely say about draft capital: it doesn't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The 101 does not tear its ACL. All right. It does not get hurt. It does not get suspended. There will be a player worthy of the 101 pick come next fucking April. There will be. There will be. Guaranteed. No matter what happens with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter and Tet McMillan and Ashton GT, there will be somebody there at the 101 where you go, yep, yeah, that's the 101 right there. I'm going to pick it. Doesn't get hurt. Doesn't get suspended. And doesn't go down in value if you're acquiring them at the time where draft capital doesn't have the most value. Now, if you want to wait and try to acquire it after the NFL combine, good fucking luck, because you're going to pay 110% of the market price, right? Everybody wants draft capital then. Right now, maybe only half your league gives a shit about draft capital, you know? Maybe it's eight teams. Let's say that. Maybe there's four super contenders, and there's eight teams who care about draft capital. You know who cares about draft capital come fucking April? Everybody. I don't care how big of a I always compete, I only like proven production, draft picks are all a crapshoot. everybody gets excited about rookies. Secretly, everybody does, because it's the only fucking thing we're talking about come that time. The only thing.
We're watching the combine on Friday night, running backs, wide receivers, 40-yard dash, shorts and compression top season. Everyone's into it. And, I mean, draft picks, they're like cars. They don't depreciate until you take them off the lot, and they don't come off the lot until you see a name attached to it. That's the other. That's the downside of the draft picks is the second. I remember, you know, if it was July, we're talking about the 108. It was, give me the 108. Oh, I'm so ready for the 108. And then the 108 came, and it was like Keon Coleman, Ladd McConkey, and people were like, fuck, this doesn't look sexy like I thought. But yeah, I think that getting liquid with picks is huge, because they only go up in value. They never go down in value. And on top of it all, whether it's your buddies or random people on Sleeper, when the draft kicks off or when it's about to kick off, everything's flowing. What you can get for the 107 in terms of veteran value is not even anywhere close than it is, or not anywhere near as high as it will be right around your draft. So having those bullets, having all those ready to rock and roll, whether you use them, trade them, package them together, you want them, because you do two things. Getting picks helps you rebuild two ways, right? It helps you lower your total points per week and helps you accrue a shitload of value when people are just thirsty for activity in our dynasty league. People want those picks. And thing about picks is they're all sold on hopes and dreams. Everyone's right. Everyone knows who the best rookie is. And then week 9 comes, you're like, how's he looking now? You know, how's he looking now? Oh, I thought by now Trey Benson was going to be a league winner. Here we are. He's basically as useful as tits on a bowl at this point for our fantasy teams.
I mean, he did score a touchdown this last week, Matty. So he did.
So did Di Mercado. I mean, it was just get a touchdown, you get a touchdown type of day for the Cardinals.
I mean, I got to bury the guy, but it's a far cry from the second coming of Breece Hall, like I heard in the draft process. Like, this is the next one. This is the next one. I mean, I think Adam and I did a fucking show where we talked about it. At the time, Trey Benson was pushing for Dynasty RB1 value on Keep Trade Cut.
Yes. Like, oh, my God.
That was
God.
A real fucking Frenzy. Conversation we were
but
having.
These are the memories that this is how you, yes. This is how, in my belief, the most successful Dynasty players are the ones that can clearly remember how it felt a month ago, 2 months ago, 5 months ago, a year ago. Because then you can understand the trends, the changes, and remember today what happened around the combine, the frenzy, how this guy was amazing and that guy was amazing, and they're all gonna hit. Roman Wilson? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Roman Wilson's next. Doug Baldwin? Are you fucking nope? Nothing. Not a peep. Even someone I love Jalen Wright. And I was sure as shit he'd get opportunities by Thanksgiving, by Halloween. Jalen Wright would have gotten some. Nope, crickets, ain't used. He just hasn't done shite for your team.
He even had the chance, right?
Ha, he had Thursday night football. He always had that Thursday
night
football.
No Mostert, no Achan. It's going to be the Jalen Wright show. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Oh, that sucks. It sucks. It sucks, man. How about I was a Patriots fan, you know? I actually started to buy into this thing. Fourth round, Javon Baker.
Or Jalen Polk, the two of them. Like, oh, look at this young, exciting wide receiver core. Nope, 5'7", Pop Douglas from Liberty is still the most productive, or wherever he came from, is still the most productive wide receiver on this team.
Kendrick Bourne, fresh off an ACL, getting run. Javon Baker can't even get activated. Kayshon Boutte. Been dead for a couple years. That dude's getting run. No Javon Baker. It's rough, man. It's rough. But I say all that to say, Matty, you touched on a good point. You don't have to pick. You don't have to pick. But people are going to be interested in it. Mm-hmm. People will be interested in it. And even if you did, right, you did invest in a Trey Benson, look how long you had to trade him before we found out he was actually just not that good. Right before all your hopes, you had all the way up until what kickoff in September, was like, eventually this is going to be the Trey Benson show. You just wait. You just
Three
wait.
3 years later.
You just wait. It'll be the Trey Benson show. James Conner can't stay healthy. Okay. Didn't work out that way. But get the draft picks now. You don't have to actually make the pick if you don't want to. You can buy vets, kickstart your rebuild. It'll be a short rebuild. If you want to play the long game, make the picks. Make the picks and then fucking trade them in July. Trade them in August. Whatever. You know, Alpha or some whatever. What was that? What was that fantasy football website that used to put out like all the injury or the news blurbs?
That's NBC Sports Edge now? It used to be Roto World?
Roto World, that's it. Yeah. I was trying to think of the old school name, Matty. Yeah, Roto World. Yeah. You bet it was in the red, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You wait for those blurbs to come out where it's, you know, Trey Benson's going to have a big role right out the gates. You're like, fuck yeah. Come get him, boys. Trey Benson's on the block. Come get him. Come get him. If you kindly pay me more than what I paid for him, I definitely appreciate it.
Hey, go through your sleeper app. I'm sure we're all going to have the look at this horrible trade offer. I got Chase Brown for Trey Benson. What are you, nuts?
Yeah.
Cut to Chase Brown just dropped the 30 piece on everyone's fucking face. Like, man, if we could only know what the future holds, right, Mike?
Yeah. If we did, we wouldn't need to do a podcast, Matty, because we'd be so fucking rich from all of our fantasy football winnings. I mean, we'd win the Millie Maker every single week. They'd investigate us for cheating. No, we just know the future like we're Biff.
Yeah, we have the future almanac, baby.
You got that future almanac. Matty, Rebuilders. There we go. The quick and dirty. Under an hour. Nailed it. Even threw in a little Edwin Diaz homage. I love it.
Yeah, baby. I need the closer. I needed the closer. Help me out. That's what. And now I have some homework. And this was not a bit, guys. This isn't the thing of why me and Mike wanted to do the show and why it was an honor to be, you know, come back on the 4D chess, get this thing going, was we are about that life. We aren't just talking dynasty. We're in the streets. We play the shit out of fantasy football. And I was – that 1-8 team was not a bit of show notes. That was not in the show notes. That was my 1-8 team. He gave me some homework, and I will report back in the future to see what we could do, to see what we could turn that team into, baby.
We're going to get this Maddie squad turned around here.
And you don't do
it. Might not be next year, might not be the year after, but eventually on the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast, we'll be talking about this Maddie squad from way back when. The second episode with Matty on here about how he turned it all around and now people are quitting the league because Matty keeps winning.
When that team's a juggernaut, we're going to pop some bottles of champagne on the show here.
Boom. And play Bop by Hanson.
Yeah, baby.
By the way, Hanson is not just one person. It's three brothers. For you youngins out there, you don't remember. They have long hair. One of them had a bowl cut, didn't he? I swear to God, one of them had a bowl cut.
I mean, in the late 90s, early 2000s, everyone had the bowl cut, the little middle part, little woof hair, I don't know what they call it. Everyone wanted to be emo to some extent back in the day, even the pretty boys.
I don't know. No bowl cuts. I just had to pull up the album cover. No bowl cuts. I think they were from Australia, though. Right, weren't they?
They look Australian. I don't know if they're from Australia.
I think
Australia.
They were from, I swear to God. God damn it. No, I'm wrong again. It says they're from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I would not have guessed them to be Tulsa, Oklahoma. I would have guessed Australia. They look Australian.
Somebody's from Australia.
Maybe Keith Urban's kids, even though they're like as old as Keith Urban is now.
Oh, they could have been Keith Urban's kids. Yeah.
Nicole but they Kim, are as old. Urban's put out the Hanson brothers.
Oh, shit. We got way off topic, but that's all right. That's how we do it on this show. Appreciate everybody tapping in. Like I said earlier, if you could do us a favor, rate and review the podcast. Hit us up on the socials. Share it with your peeps. Share it in your leagues. We really appreciate all the support. But, Matty, that's all I got, buddy. You got anything for the people before we bounce out?
Yes, sir. Make sure the walkthrough comes through every Friday. Of course, Grind the Edges, America's Game, the Waiver Wire Pod, 40 Chess Podcast now are on and popping. We're doing big things. And then, of course, Sunday Fun Day, the game plan is your start your shit show, and then the recap show. It's just an absolute bang of the Sunday, each and every Sunday here on the South Harbor.
Do it for us. We love y'all. We're out of this thing. Peace.